It's Tuesday, 14th of April, and it's time to get your grin on with the Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming for the past week. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Nikki.
Hello.
And Puce.
Hello.
Welcome, guys. Still in lockdown, but we're not letting that stop us. So I'll just stop there. Thanks for tuning in. Right, we've got some things to talk about, but we'll start with what everyone's been playing. Let's start with Puce this time.
In a rather unsurprising move, I've been playing Animal Crossing and more Warzone. I seem to be addicted, and I don't really know why, because I'm not very good at it, but it's I keep playing it regardless.
What is this Animal Crossing? I've not heard of it before. I've not had to mute anything on Twitter at all.
No. It's an anger management simulation where it's basically how you deal with every animal in the world being angry at you for not talking to them for 2 days. So it's basically a real-life simulator, yeah.
Your island's full of very needy animals.
Yeah, they're even needier than what my GameCube village was. If I played that now, they would all have moved out and just completely disowned me. I've probably got letters with death threats in on the GameCube version now. But these are even worse. And I'm actually actively doing things for them. So.
Crikey.
But I did get quite a lot of Bunny Day furniture for over Easter. So that's something. I didn't manage to get all the recipes because I didn't play as much as I wanted to on Bunny. I was going to try and hammer it and try and get as many of the last recipes I needed. But I didn't manage it, but I still got some quite cool things, and I'm quite happy with what I accomplished. But I'll try to arrange my time better for the next holiday.
And that'll be coming sooner than you think. Warzone, what's its hold over you?
I don't know. I think what I'm enjoying about it is the fact that you kind of have two lives every time, so it's not like an immediate. As soon if you drop in and you get in a fight early on and you're rubbish like I am and losing a pistol duel, then because you get sent to the gulag and can still win, you can still win your freedom kind of thing to get dropped in again. So it doesn't feel quite as punishing. Plus, there are also lots of other ways to gain extra ways to come back in. It's like you can buy a self-revive kit, so if you do get knocked down, you can bring yourself back, assuming they can't see you and just carry on shooting you. And also, if you're playing in a group, your friends can still bring you back. So it feels a bit more lenient in that it's not like a one hit and that's it, you're out kind of deal. And I think that's probably what's making it quite addictive. And surprisingly, I'm not actually terrible. I can actually get kills in Warzone, which I'm going to put down to the fact that it's a Call of Duty game, so the time to kill in is really quick, generally. Pistols still take too many shots to kill somebody, but nearly every other weapon can rip through people in no time.
Okay, fair enough. Nikki, what about yourself?
Well, the usual weekly affair of playing more Azura Lane. I ended up getting annoyed the other day, because I, in the last event, missed one ship. I just didn't get it on the event drop. I was like 20 points off being able to afford it, and by the time I'd realized the event had ended and you couldn't get any more points. So I was quite frustrated about that. But instead, I made up for it by getting like 5 of one of the other ships, and she's cute, so nice. Elsewhere, I've been playing Animal Crossing as well. I've spoken before about how I'm like kind of struggling to understand it and like get into it, but I'm liking it. I am struggling to pick it up every day just because I just forget, but kind of doing good on, I think, on like a 3-day streak at the minute of picking it up and at least doing like the bare minimum, which I believe is basically talk to everyone and do whatever Tom Nook has asked you to do. My understanding is that it'll get to a point where I've basically done what Tom Nook wants. The island is, quote, built, and then it's a case of just doing my thing, making the island better, and then eventually KK Slider rocks up. So I think I'm like just about to finish doing the sort of, I guess, tutorial. Polygon put out an article, which was like a guide that was basically how to do your first week of Animal Crossing. And it was essentially like, if you did it in this rigorous way, by the end of 7 days, you would basically be at a point where you've now unlocked all the features. You have all the things you're supposed to have, and now it's like, the game begins, and I'm working on that. I think tomorrow I will be on day 7. This is, what, 3 weeks after the game launched?
yeah, you bought it on launch.
I bought it on launch. So I bought it on the launch day, which was a Friday. I didn't even play it until the following Monday. That's how committed I am to this. but I say that, my island started with oranges. I now have bamboo, peaches, cherries, and coconuts. So I've got some nice little grooves of trees going on, which is quite nice. I've shoved all the villagers in a corner because I don't like any of them. I even posted on Twitter this morning. I literally launched this morning and it was like, hey, there's a new villager. So I went to talk to her. The first thing she said to me is basically, oh, I'm not used to people just walking into my house. And it's like, oi, right, none of your sass. I built this. I helped build your house. I deserve a thank you. So as soon as I figure out how to, I'm going to get rid of them. don't enjoy the sass first thing. At least the luchador, who moved in on the day I moved in, is one of the nicest people I can talk to on my island. He can stay. I don't mind him, even if he's a little bit weird walking around in his luchador mask. No surprise, really. I've been playing the Final Fantasy VII Remake. I got my copy early, as has pretty much everyone, because I think we discussed last week about how Square Enix basically went, fuck it, and just sent copies out as they were ready, because current world events has kind of made logistics a little bit hard and postal services were kind of rammed at the minute. Got it early. Started it Thursday evening, I think. I'm not going to talk much about it because I haven't finished it. I will probably have finished it by the time we record next week. However, what I will say at this point is I just passed the 16-hour mark. And I've only just gotten to Walmart. For those of you who are not familiar with Final Fantasy VII originally, the original Final Fantasy had you go through Midgar in, for argument's sake, 6 to 8 hours, if you kind of just bombed through it. And Walmart is just before the infamous cross-dressing scene, which is about two-thirds of the way through the Midgar section. So about two-thirds of the way through Midgar, the remake takes place only in Midgar, ergo I'm about two-thirds of the way through. There has been about two whole chapters of just filler. They've extended, like, it's, I'll go more into it next week when I finish it, because the reason I want to hold off talking about it, other than saying that I'm actually enjoying it, which is kind of surprising, and that the new stuff is interesting, is because all I'm seeing across Twitter as people are finishing this game, universally, everyone's loving the remake until the end. So, apparently, what has been dubbed a Nomura moment, something happens in the ending, and apparently it's just annoyed everyone. And I say everyone, I've probably only seen about two or three people say they actually liked the ending, and I've seen a lot of people finish the game.
Cloud wakes up in the shower, it was all a dream.
And he's got... suddenly covered in zips, because it's Nomura.
Yes, they're like surgically attached to him. And he's got a really big penis or something, I don't know.
I've heard that the ending is unusual or different, but I've managed to stay away from spoilers, which I'm quite surprised at, because I'm not sure when I'm actually going to be able to pick it up. So I'm probably going to bump into spoilers at some point. So, but
I've managed to avoid spoilers for now, but as is the way, YouTube eventually goes, hey, here's a spoiler for that really popular game. You're just like, I haven't even been Googling it. It's like, yeah, but here's a spoiler anyway.
Your smart device heard you talking about this game.
Yeah.
From what I understand, there's an awful lot of side quests that they've added to bulk out the time, which is cool if you want to do extra stuff, but with how it's split into chapters as well, that seems a bit odd. But
Okay, so I'll talk a little bit, because that's a good point, actually. They said, so for anyone who doesn't realize, the remake isn't a full remake. It is, if you're completely new to this podcast, hello. Final Fantasy VII Remake is only Midgar, which is arguably the, like, tiny bit of the game. they claim it's about 20 hours. I'm seeing people clock in about 25, 30 hours, which from my speed seems right. I am doing everything, or at least trying to. Side quests, they said just before the game came out that there was about the whole game's worth of side content. I did look into this a little bit because I got a little bit confused of how all the side content worked. It's chapter locked. So, for example, there's a chapter where you get to a location and then they introduce the concept of side quests to you and you go on a very Square Enix tutorial. And you unlock about 6 side quests. If you continue with the main story for like a couple more beats, you'll eventually be prompted to leave that area. And it does kind of remind you several times, like, hey, are you sure you want to go? And it's like, oh, okay, I guess I should do the side content. The side content didn't feel meaningful, at least in that chapter, nor did it actually feel worth it, bar one or two exceptions. So, and then what was really weird is I had like 3 chapters of just story, and then I got to another chapter and it was like, here's more side quests. And I was like, oh, okay, they're just literally... There are literally just a few chapters in the game where it just goes, here's some side quests. What I found, though, is, because I looked into this, the game doesn't have a new game plus, but when you finish the game, you can load up any chapter and basically take your end game stats and items into said chapter. So you can just keep progressing post-game but by selecting chapters, which is cool. So you're not going to miss anything. You will be able to go back. Like, I randomly discovered... Because what's really funny is in all the cutscenes in Engine, there was one cutscene where a character opened a door, and then in the room that they just walked out of, I was like, oh, fuck, there's a rare item in there. I didn't even notice. But it was too late to go get it. I was like, no! Like, it's just red materia just glowing. I was like, oh, God, that's a summon. And apparently as well, once you finish the game, there's a guy who gives you, like... I'm sorry, I have to say this. He straight up gives you VR missions, and it's really funny. He's just like, here's a headset, go nuts. You're just like, all right. He's like the hunting quest, so to speak. But you do his missions to get high level rewards. Apparently, once you finish the game, he just gains a whole load. So I'm struggling to see how there's an entire game's worth of side content, unless they're counting the time you spend running around, because holy crap, is it huge? It's massive. Am I enjoying it though? Yes, I am enjoying it. Will I still enjoy it after the ending? Who knows? We'll see. Anyone who knows me knows that I've gone into the 7 remake with bated breath because I love this game. I grew up with it. But if anyone remembers Kingdom Hearts 3 and how that went down for me, it's that was basically the same. Kingdom Hearts 3, absolutely fantastic game, until the ending when Nomura then basically did writing. So we'll see. But I will leave it at that. And maybe next week I'll have a full sort of opinion to give forward. The last game I played this week, which was literally last night, me and a friend wanted to play something nostalgic besides the 7 remake. So we found that we both owned the Call of Duty 4 remaster, the one that came out a few years back. So we got that fired up on our PS4s and we played Deathmatch, not on Modern Warfare that came out a few months ago, on Modern Warfare Remastered that came out like a few years back, and it was great. It was the dumbest thing. We put bots on and we were just killing, just like me and them versus 16 high level bots. It was just hilarious. It was like being back in 2013, minus all the swearing and racism over the microphone.
Minus the swearing.
I mean, it was swearing, but it wasn't aimed directly at us, you know, like when you ask someone like, oh, do you remember Xbox Live? And everyone's like, oh, yes, Xbox Live, Halo, teenagers swearing and abuse at each other. Nowadays, to get that, you have to play Fortnite, and I'm not playing Fortnite.
Shut the hell up.
Oh my God, I'm going to tell my mum.
Well, my uncle works for Nintendo.
Oh, shit.
Okay,
can you tell him to reduce the prices of games?
Actually, yeah.
Me and Pius were discussing this earlier, actually. There was a game that was released in Japan and Europe for the Nintendo Wii. Was it the Wii or the Wii U?
A Wii.
The Wii. And Reggie what's his face, the guy who was in charge of Nintendo of America at the time, said that it wasn't getting an American release because it was too expensive.
Brilliant.
The guy in charge of Nintendo, which gave us the term Nintendo tax, said that something was too expensive.
Yeah, anyway. It's one of those things where if you were in the room with him, your eyes would roll out of your head and down several flights of stairs.
Myself, I have been playing Dauntless quite a bit over the last few days. Noita, I'm still not sure how to pronounce that. Every other day, really. Simpsons tapped out. They've got a wrestling quest line going on at the moment, a wrestling event. I can't get into the specifics because I don't remember the specifics. It's kind of forgettable. Just log on every 4 hours and tell them to collect feather boas for some reason. Star Trek Online, still getting my daily build a Phoenix rocket so I can get whatever it gives me at the end. I do look to find out what it is, but I keep forgetting what it is. It's not a ship. It's not a non-combat pet that's literally the same size as your avatar. I think it's just some stuff. I dipped back into Warframe, played a few hours of that, and still quite enjoying that. Didn't get to play as much as I wanted to over the past week, and honestly only got around to playing over the last couple of days. Just other things got in the way. Also played a couple hours of Nier Automata, because you suggested it last week, Nikki.
Someone listens to my suggestions, yay!
And yes, it's a very good game. It was a bit surprising when this third-person hack and slash starts with a shoot-'em-up stage.
Yes, it's the best thing ever that you recommend this the action hack and slash gameplay, and the game starts with fucking bullet hell. I love it.
Of course, I have it on easy mode, so it's auto attack, and it's not killed me yet. In the first couple of hours, but I'm positive the game will at some point kill me, and from what I can tell, it doesn't really matter if it kills you, so long as you can find your corpse and get your stuff back. Also been playing my way through Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six 3 on the GameCube, because the console version differs from the PC version, so I've got to play the console version as well as the because I've just finished the PC version. After this, I've already obtained a copy of Black Arrow, Rainbow Six Black Arrow, which was an Xbox exclusive. It's backwards compatible on the 360, not the Xbox One. But since we have some other games that are not backwards compatible on the Xbox One, we do have an Xbox 360, so I obtained a copy of Black Arrow. Now, while I was playing Rainbow Six 3, I couldn't work out what the various in the debriefing screen, those various icons, I couldn't really tell what they were about. And I looked through the manual. I looked through the manual for Lockdown, which is the next game in the series. Absolutely no idea what these things mean. And so I get this copy of Black Arrow on the Xbox for like £2 from eBay, leafing through the manual, and it explains what those icons are. I couldn't believe it.
It's just madness that that info isn't in the GameCube manual.
It's not in the manual for Rainbow Six 3 on PlayStation 2 or the Xbox or the GameCube manuals. But yes, I kind of suspected that it was the amount of terrorists you've killed, but I finally got confirmation. And the last game that I've been playing this week is Area 86. It's a indie game that's coming out, what day is it? Tomorrow, I believe, on Steam. And it's basically an isometric top-down style game where you control a robot that has to work out how to open the exit of the room that you have, the next room that you've got entered, kind of like Portal, where you've got to find your way out of the room. you don't create portals, obviously, otherwise I'd have like led with that. But everything is breakable. Like if you see glass, you can smash through it. If you knock into the safety rails, you'll knock them down. Tables will break under your weight. And you've got to find ways to activate switches and use elevators. And the Steam page says you've got to parkour your way through the levels. It's not quite like that. You can jump and dive through, obviously, windows. You can pick up and throw objects. Like, for instance, you've got to get these shapes into certain boxes. But first you've got to uncover which order the shapes have to go in. So it's very much a puzzler. As I say, that's coming out tomorrow. I haven't been able to play through all of the game because the version that I've been given access to doesn't have all of the levels unlocked. I did message the guy and on Twitter, and he was hoping to push a patch through today to unlock it, but you'll have to wait until the game's out to read my review. It's a very fun game. It's the controls are, from what I could tell on his Steam community updates, he's been looking into controllers, but the controls are keyboard, which is either the arrow keys or WASD, and Q to activate and E to pick up.
Yeah, it's a shame it's not got a controller support, because it does look like the sort of game where it would actually work really well.
It's very... I've had a lot of fun with it, and it's quite humorous. I can tell you exactly how much time I've sunk into it. Knockout. 2.5 hours. And that's going back into the levels that I've already opened, so I can complete more of the challenges. Like you've got to, in one of the maps, you've got to get through an area without touching the floor, so you've got to jump from platform to platform. If you touch the floor, it resets, so you got to get back up on the platforms. And if you manage to not touch the floor, you complete the challenge. Don't touch the floor. It's all things like that.
Yeah, I have to say, I do like the art style. It's a very clean, very nice lines, and very, it's like solid color aesthetic. It's very nice looking, actually. It looks very silly, which is perfect. It does look really fun, actually.
A physics-based escape room puzzle game, it says on Steam. Control your robot in an interactive environment. Push, pick, throw, activate, or destroy objects to escape. Yeah, in one of the maps, one of the levels, you can create bombs using two items. I won't spoil, because you can find that out for yourself. And so you can create multiple explosives. Right, that's all the games that I've been playing. Let's talk about some games that we might play in the future. Obsidian, the company behind Outer Worlds, are working on a game called Grounded, a cooperative multiplayer survival adventure. And they've someone was watching their trailer and tweeted saying that there's giant spiders that pretty much told me I won't be playing much of this. Obsidian replied to them saying that the team is implementing an arachnophobia mode to help those who aren't afraid of spiders and still... I think they mean are, and still want to enjoy the game, which is a very good idea, because not everyone enjoys giant spiders and fighting giant spiders.
So I saw this, and anyone who's a long-time listener to the podcast will know that I have arachnophobia, and I've voiced several times about how I can't play certain games because of spiders. This makes me happy, because this potentially means I could play this game. As it stands, not planning to, but I could, and it's cool that it allows people to do things. When Resident Evil 3 was coming out, I actually tweeted saying that, oh, they've confirmed the spiders are going to be in it. Well, I guess I can't play it day one. And I got a bit of backlash about that, and I actually looked into it, and my God, the backlash for people saying, look, hey, can you put in an arachnophobic mode? was crazy. And it's nice to see with this one that people seem to have been quite positive to it. And I know there's a couple other games where there's a rack for every mode, and they just do a little texture swap and stuff. And like, yes, it's an overhead for developers, but we have modes that let you turn off blood and gore, so why can't we have things that let you turn off spiders? But this is a welcome thing from me.
Because the game's supposed to be played this way.
I don't give a shit what you think. What I care about is what the developers think. That wasn't aimed at you, Ace. That was just the general. No, I don't care what Ace thinks. No,
it actually was aimed at Ace.
I know.
We all hate Ace. It's normal.
But legitimately, it's, you know, and I appreciate that there was a standpoint with Resident Evil that it was like, well, they're in the original, so they shouldn't be cut from the new one. That's a fair statement, but it's a remake, so, you know, whatever. For the record,
and also, sorry. No one's asking for them to be removed. Just change them into two-legged things we're wearing a hat and googly eyes. It doesn't matter. Just something other than a spider.
Whenever this kind of argument comes up, I always link it back to the Call of Duty games, where it was like, hey, we have this scene where it's kind of a bit messed up and some people aren't going to like it. Do you want to skip it? Yes. But you still get the gist of the story. I don't understand why we can't have that in games anymore. Jedi Fallen Order, I have not touched since I got to a world that was like, we are covered in spiders. And I was like, fuck that. You know, it's... For the record, Resident Evil 3's spider section, they're not really spiders. Actually, they're worse. I got through that. Ugh. It took like 10 minutes, but that's not the point. So, yes, the fact that I'm sitting on like, hey, arachnophobia mode. Cool. Awesome. Obviously, there's a question, is it a case that it's going to just remove them entirely? Is it going to change them for something? Because I can appreciate if it's just going to remove them, people are going to be like, oh, you're taking away part of the game. Well, if they change it for something, cool. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there's like, for example, if Skyrim was kind enough to be like, hey, we have an arachnophobia mode, but when you turn it on, we just replace all the spiders with polar bears.
I think that's an actual mod.
Yeah, there's mods, there's no mode. You know, I'd be cool with that. Like, give me options. And it's not quite an accessibility issue, but it kind of is.
Yeah, it's sort of leaning that way, and it leans into providing support for more things like that in the future. I mean, at the end of the day, all you're asking for with an arachnophobia mode is basically a model swap toggle. Like, if this is turned on, use the spider model, else use something else that's not as intimidating. It could still be roughly the same shape. You just need to make it so that it's not a spider. It's like, see, the amount of, I don't like spiders in games, but the amount of games which have spiders that I'm scared of, I can count on one hand. Because a lot of times the spiders either aren't really, they're not quite spiders, or they don't look enough like spiders that it bothers me. But some games they really do.
Goddamn spider bugs. Goddamn Metro series.
Yeah, Metro. Yeah. In fact, that's foreshadowing for something later on. But yeah, I just don't really see the big deal in providing a toggle for this kind of thing. It seems a pretty straightforward one, and it's kind of, if you want to look at it in a similar way to providing colorblind options, it's a similar thing. You're basically providing a toggle that changes some things that for some people, but doesn't touch it for the rest of people. So it's fine.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, like in the case of the game Obsidian is working on, Grounded. I can appreciate, given the concept is you're literally shrunk and you're in a back garden, I can appreciate that having spiders is probably like a key moment of that. And I get that. I can fully appreciate that. But I also appreciate that by having this mode, I could play it. And on what you were saying about them not looking like spiders, the creatures in Metro just about managed them. Yeah, those little fuckers.
Lucky.
Yeah. The problem is it goes two ways. Example, there's Limbo. It's a silhouette game, I get that. There's a spider in there. That was fine. Ori and the Will of the Wisps, I've seen pictures that there's just like a giant spider creature in that. That looks cool. I actually like how that looks. You know, that kind of thing. Fine. Skyrim? No, fuck that. Those fucking disgusting. I hate them. Legitimately cannot, like, even when Skyrim first came out, and this is years back, legitimately, the only way I could get past them was to dual hand fire, scroll the camera right back, and actually physically look away from the screen, because those guys are disgusting. Jedi Fallen Order, because everything's alien, it's like, what if we took a spider and a spider and bashed them together until it looks like a super spider, and I'm just in the corner going, I hate you so much. And because animation quality, etc. The original Resident Evil 2, the original on PlayStation, when I played it as a kid and I saw the spider, I cried for days. Looking at it now, it's kind of hilarious. But that's like a 100 polygon creature. You know, now we have photo real creatures. And that's, you know, ugh, yeah. Anyway, arachnophobe mode.
In a lot of ways, that's the thing that bothers me more. It's the animation. It's like if the spindly legs move like a spider's legs do, it freaks me out. I just don't like that. It's that side of it. I could probably get away with it with something looking like a spider. It's how it moves that really affects me, I think.
It moves like a horse.
I am both intrigued and terrified.
It's away
terrified.
From me.
Right, our next news story is Google are giving something away for free. If you've wanted to dip your toe into Stadia, I still don't know how to pronounce that. Keep forgetting. Because I keep forgetting that this thing exists, you can get Stadia Pro for free for 2 months. All you have to do is go and sign up, and then you can download the app on your smartphone and be ready to go. This is because of the social distancing and everyone in lockdown, so that is punishing anyone who has an active Stadia membership. They're also getting 2 months free, so if you have wanted to play Destiny 2, Grid, Guilt, Steamworld Dig 2, Steamworld Quest, Hand of Gilgamesh, Serious Sam Collection, Spitlings, Stacks on Stacks on Stacks, or Thumper, then you can play those for 2 months for free, and any other game that you purchase on Stadia.
Am I right in thinking that Stadia Free, which is just the 1080 version, is now permanently free as well?
Yes.
Yeah, but you still have to buy the games on it. This is cool, because someone should probably use Stadia. but in all seriousness, there is a kind of a weird irony to this, because whilst they've done this to promote people to stay at home during this lockdown, internet service providers and all that have been putting sort of soft caps on data usage. So, ergo, if you've noticed your console downloads and Steam downloads being slower, it's a legit reason for that. Yeah, one of the guys at work tried this and said it just fell over immediately. And apparently the input lag and the delay is still just horrific. Quality still isn't that great. So it's just kind of like, it's, I guess if you wanted to play Destiny 2 in your browser, go for it.
It's free.
So is Destiny 2. Also, I have to call this one out. I love that on their website where they have all the games currently, like, here are the games on Stadia. About 3 of them are games that aren't even out yet, and they don't mention anywhere that those games aren't actually out yet. One of them being the new Watch Dogs. Which, for those who don't remember, Watch Dogs Legions was delayed sort of just to an unspecified time.
Because it's going to be Stadia exclusive.
Wow, I didn't know Ubisoft like wanted to burn their company that badly.
Yeah, Stadia is such a weird thing. It's like, even when it came out and you look at performance info, and it's like, even people with super internet connections have an okay time with it. It's like anyone with a normal connection just doesn't stand a chance of it working well. And it seems, compared to what reports are about how xCloud performs, it seems like xCloud is just far superior. We'll have to wait and see. But even GeForce Now, from by all accounts, has works quite well, if that's the sort of thing that you want to do. So it's just weird that Google, with all their experience and come out with a product that seems to be pretty useless for most people's internet connections, which, I mean, I suppose now it's free, you can try it and see if your connection can cope with it, but it's weird. I still struggle to see the use case where this is a useful thing, to be honest. In the end, if we end up with a Netflix of games, then so be it. If that's the future, it'll be a very sad day if that's the only way we can play games. But I don't know. I just don't see the point in it.
Well, speaking of something else that people aren't seeing the point of, apparently Resident Evil 4 is getting a remake. Rumours are saying that it is in full production. The GameCube exclusive, which has been released on, by all accounts, everything, is being, well, remade.
So this one's interesting because for anyone out of the loop, Resident Evil 4 is considered the best in the series, and I would argue a lot of people claim it to be one of the best games ever made. I actually haven't played Resident Evil 4. I own it on about 3 consoles because, you know, 3 games. And it kind of, yeah, it's a weird one because it is already a third person. I can see why people might be like, there's kind of a point remaking it. But I'm all for Capcom just remaking all of them at this point because why not? This would be interesting. I think more so than 2 and 3 because I would argue... I actually said the other day that I reckon if this is true, when they announce it and we see what it is, because the rumor is that it's not going to be out until 2021. If they do it and it is a drastic change, I reckon it'll cause more discourse online than the 7 remake. Because, wow, since getting into the Resident Evil fan base who have the last year with the Resi 2 remake, oh boy, they are some passionate gamers. But yeah, Resident Evil 4 seems to be this like precious gem that everyone seems to think they shouldn't touch. I'm curious to see if they do and how they're going to do it.
It's going to be an isometric puzzle game.
It would be hilarious if they did a demake instead. And it's like, we've now turned Resident Evil 4, famed for its over-the-shoulder camera, into an isometric fixed camera game, akin to that of the original 2-3 Resident Evils. But it's also still photorealistic in 4K.
Yeah, Resident Evil 4 is a weird one because it's kind of where I dropped off the series. I love the first 3 and Code Veronica on the Dreamcast. But then when 4 came out, I kind of stopped. I wasn't as into Resident Evil then for some reason. So I kind of don't really get all the hype for 4 necessarily. I can kind of understand that it was a pioneer of that type of gameplay. And moving forward, that's what the series went with. But it was all just a bit too brown for me, I think. And kind of shifting the tone from the evil science corporation umbrella to a more realistic sort of tribal horror sort of thing that they were going for. I don't know, it just kind of didn't work for me. So I am kind of interested in how they go about remaking this, because Resident Evil 3 remake is similar enough to the original, but it does depart in significant ways. But it's still kind of still Resident Evil 3, although I'm sure a lot of the community argue that it's a devil's child of a game. But seeing what they do with Resident Evil 4, if they completely go over the top and change it, it'll be fun.
Yeah, there's also a question. I saw someone tweeting, like, given what they've been doing with, like, Resi 2 and 3, more so with 3, would Resi 4 remake end up being like, the bit we have to hold up in the house from all the villagers, that'll just be a cutscene, and, the chainsaw guy will be, like, one boss you never encounter, and what are they going to do about the giant statues and the rolling boulders and all the quick time events? And it'll be interesting to see, because... It seems, I'm not 100% too sure if I'm correct on this, but it seemed, I think the Resi 2 remake and the Resi 3 remake have been different developers. And I think it seems like the RE4 remake, if this rumor is to be believed, is a different developer again. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. Because a lot of the stuff in RE2 didn't make it to RE3. The remake, sorry. So we'll see.
My question is, why are people surprised about this? Resident Evil 2
remake. That is the $1 million question.
Resident Evil 3 remake. Resident Evil 4 remake. Guess what's going to come next?
Also, for people asking, where's the Resident Evil 5 remake? Resident Evil 5 remake, they just make Chris's arms a bit smaller. And also, yeah, the Resident Evil 1 remake happened a few years back. I think you can technically now play all of the Resident Evil games 1 through 7 on current generation consoles, thanks to the
RE3. Zero.
I don't know what that is.
Zero's on Steam, at least.
Zero's cool. I like Zero.
My question is, where in this series of remakes are they going to remake the Code Veronica?
That's the one that really, because that's the proper sequel to 2. Because 3 kind of isn't. It's kind of concurrent, so it's like a side story. Although there are important lore stuff in 3, but Code Veronica was the actual proper sequel. But it seems like Code Veronica's forgotten by Capcom. It never really comes up any time in any conversation about Resident Evil. It's kind of funny that it's kind of...
Apparently it's available backwards compatible on Xbox One. Someone was saying in the team meeting last night. That shut you up.
I've got nothing to say. No, it'd be really cool for it to get a touch-up, because although there are still ways of playing it, there's no real way on modern systems outside of emulation. So it'd be nice to see it brought up to modern spec. It's like those that argue about Resident Evil 1. It's like, yes, it was remade, but it's not been remade in the same way that 2 and 3 have, with a fully 3D and readjusted to sort of modern design, which would be nice to see. But it's also, it's similar. You'll get a lot of complaints to what's happened with Resident Evil 3, I think, where unless it's an exact room for room and item for item remake, it's like, unless it's got literally everything that was in the original and it follows that exact route, that you just get complaining, which is probably similar to what the sort of thing that's happening with Final Fantasy VII Remake, is because it's not a beat for beat copy, but just with upscale, like modern 3D graphics. I don't know. It's a weird situation when you try to remake things, because so much of what makes the thing relevant for the time is when you played it. It's nostalgia. It's like if you played it as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old kid, naughty person for playing an 18-rated game when you're not old enough. But if you played it as a kid, it's got more connection there than just what it looks like, even if you don't want to acknowledge that. It's because it reminds you of the time you played it and how you were at the time. And you can't replicate that. So no game, no matter how it's remade, is going to stand up to your memory of that thing. So it's difficult no matter how you remake these things, I think. It's kind of brave on them, and it's kind of interesting that Resident Evil 2 was so successful, and 3 to a degree. I think 3, for the most part, is a faithful remake.
Well, if the rumors to be believed, we won't be hearing much more about it until next year at the earliest, because it's saying it could release in 2022.
Where the trollers and say that it's called Resident Evil 4, but it's actually a Code Veronica remake. Resident Evil 4, Code Veronica 4, with 4 on the end of Veronica.
Part 2 DLC not included.
Oh yeah, can you imagine if they pulled a Square and the Resident Evil 4 remake is just literally the first few scenes and that's the entirety of the first remake, but they've stretched it out to 30 hours.
It'll do a Kingdom Hearts 3 and put the actual ending in as DLC.
All that, yeah. That'd be fun. By fun, I mean a nightmare.
Right, our next news story is about Ghosts of Tsushima. Tsushima?
What I've been saying Tsushima, but I don't know which is correct.
According to preview in a magazine, Sucker Punch's upcoming stealth action game is a bit more like Morrowind than you might have suspected. The open world won't feature waypoints. Far Cry 5 tried to do this to a degree where you just saw markers on the compass and headed towards them as you got closer, that you'd see these markers. Ghost of Tsushima is going to be fairly minimalist in the environments, and you'll be using landmarks and your knowledge of the world to explore.
Yeah, kind of like Ghost Recon Breakpoint's non-guided mode, perhaps.
That's a good point. I've forgotten about that.
Yeah, where you just kind of get clues. For those that haven't played Breakpoint, instead of the typical waypoint markers when you get a quest, which it still has if you're in guided mode, but if you choose non-guided mode, instead of that, when you take a mission, you get given like hints as to where in the world the thing is. It's like you might say you've heard that it's near a waterfall and something else, and then you have to figure it out yourself.
It's just north of lake, whatever the heck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you get given brief snippets of and hints as to where the objectives are, and you're left to your own devices. So maybe this will be something similar, but it's definitely interesting. But as you say, it's like more than beat them to it by like 15 years.
I saw a lot of people on Twitter getting quite angry about this, and I think at the end of the day, if it's an option, cool. If it's forced, some people will have issues with it. I'm kind of down with it, to be honest with you.
I think a lot of it boils down to how they integrate it. It's like, is it designed with that in mind? So it's like in conversation and stuff, does that stuff get passed to you naturally? It's not like a very artificial thing where you're just kind of told to go somewhere and you've literally got no guidance. Yeah, I think it depends a lot on how it's implemented, but it could be good. But it, like you say, it would be nice if it was a toggle.
Right. We've got two more news stories to race through. Justin Leeper, the former writer of the Road to WrestleMania modes in multiple WWE video games, has previously provided a lot of inside information which has been correct. So when he's come out with this new information from sources, he can kind of be believed. Apparently he has heard from reliable sources and truly believes that WWE 2K21 has been cancelled, so there'll be no WWE game this year, which if you bought WWE 2K20 and were disappointed by it, or tried to play it at the start of this year, you know, the year it's numbered after, and were unable to because of a problem with the servers, as many people found out, this might be good news. It's it'll certainly give them some time to work on it. Kind of like how Ubisoft took a couple of years off of Assassin's Creed and came back with Assassin's Creed Origins.
I have like no real input or opinion on this other than, yeah, yearly releases when you don't have the Call of Duty situation, which is three developers each having 3 years to make games. You are going to get a bit stagnant at some point. So maybe them taking a year out is a good shout. I don't even play these games, and I remember how bad of a launch the last one was.
Yeah, 2K we're not lucky WWE 2K20's launch, or most of the games since launch. But as yet, I suppose it's not being cancelled because they haven't announced it. They usually announce them during WrestleMania, and WrestleMania has passed by recently with no mention of the game at all. Yes, WrestleMania was held without an audience, and I did not watch it myself, but yeah, that sounds like an interesting way to do it.
Very quiet, I'd imagine.
Just all the crew going extra loud. Yay! Our last news story concerns the Nintendo Switch. Today, users woke up to their Switch saying, please update to version 10.0. 0.0.0, which has brought some system stability, because that's usually code for we found another way to stop hackers from hacking this system. It has also given provided people the ability to transfer information between system storage and SD cards. So if you're looking to swap your SD card and manage your game library without downloading tons and tons of data, especially given the caps that you were talking about earlier, Nikki, you can do that. However, you can't transfer save data, which I thought was...
Wait, what? Surely that's the one odd. Thing you'd want to do.
Yeah. I suppose it's one way to avoid people developing a way to, I don't know, create an action replay that modifies your save.
Maybe.
Also, you can now remap your controls on your Joy-Con, your Pro Controller, and the Switch Lite. Those controls don't have their own name because, you know, it's attached to the Switch Lite.
Accessibility, woo! Legit, that is actually really good. It is on a system level, it's not game by game, but you can set up profiles, so you could theoretically have multiple setups and controller layouts, put, save, and use them for respective games. Yes, awesome. It just means that the Switch is now more accessible for people. Plus, if you just fancy messing around with the controls, you can do that. Want to switch your left and right thumbstick around? Go for it. Want to make every button the photo button? Go for it.
Greencast does not recommend doing this.
I do.
Unless you like taking photos.
And not moving to be able to take photos.
Yeah, but it's good. It's nice. It's always weird mapping on a system level because you never quite know how the buttons are going to feel, because obviously games also differently. So hopefully developers will now, what I'm hoping is that maybe developers can tap into this and actually do, they can leverage that for themselves and do remapping. But it also just means that things might be a bit easier for people who, for whatever reason, need to remap controls to have a more comfortable gaming experience. I want to have a play with it later. What I'm curious is if there's a way to dual map buttons, because I would love, what basically, obviously this is a weird thing to say considering the Joy-Cons are two separate controllers, but is there a way to map a full controller layout to one half of a controller? That's what I want to try and figure out. Because if possible, that'd be really awesome for accessibility. But I've not had a chance to fire up my Switch and have a look.
You cannot, because then you don't have two analog sticks.
That's true. I'll have a play later. I'll have a play and see what I can do.
See what you find out. Okay, that's all of our news. To finish off, I figured, well, if you have a PC and a Uplay account, you can get Assassin's Creed 2 for free. Just fire up Uplay and it'll pop up there. But that made me realize, well, think of a main topic. Which game series do you own but have never played? I mean, technically this is a cheat for me because I've played the first and second games. However, I stopped playing them because, as I've said in past episodes, at one point in Assassin's Creed 2, they say, oh, we can't access this memory yet, and it's a DLC that you have to pay for. And when you interrupt my single player game to tell me to buy some DLC, I don't like your series anymore. Apparently Odyssey's kind of guilty about that because it builds up Atlantis, and Atlantis was one of the DLCs. Who wants to go first?
I'll keep mine short and sweet. The Yakuza series. I own all of those games, bar Judgment, because I recently bought the recently released pack that came with three games remastered in one, and I own them because I was like, hey, I'll wait until I own the entire series to play them. I still haven't even taken the cellophane wrapping off that box. And yeah, I think Uncharted is another one. I think I own most of the Uncharted games as well. I've never played them, or at least finished any of them. I played a bit of 3 and never finished it, but yeah. Yakuza is mine. I have never played an Yakuza game. I own all the mainline entries.
Okay. I didn't actually explain about Assassin's Creed. I've played the first two, but because you play, keep giving them free on you play, I now own 2, 3 Black Flag, or 4 Black Flag, depending on the name, Unity, Chronicles China, and via a humble bundle, Origins. So I didn't technically buy that one, but I've had both these games for free from Uplay.
And Syndicate
that was given away on Epic. Yes, that's right.
So you've managed to get almost the entire series for nothing.
I mean, the first game and two of the like Assassin's Creed 2.2 and 2.3, and two of the Chronicles.
Oh yeah, there's Brotherhood and Revelations as well, isn't there? Yeah,
that's right.
Forgotten about those ones.
You own those ones.
I do. I own them all now. It's quite frightening. And I kind of got up to a point. It's like any game that's past Rogue, I haven't actually played to completion. I've tried starting various ones multiple times, but just bounced off them. So maybe one day I'll get round to them. If anyone knows my Steam list, that's never going to happen. But as for me, there's so many. When I was flicking through, I was noticing a lot of old DOS game series that I bought on GOG as and when they've come up for sale, just because I want to support GOG actually getting hold of fairly obscure game series and things. So I've got quite a lot of things on GOG over the years that I've just not started, but I'm a big fan of grid-based dungeon crawler RPGs, old school first person, like Eye of the Beholder style games. So I've got series on that I own, like the Ishar series and the Lands of Lore trilogy on GOG that I've never actually played, even though I actually own the Lands of one of the Lands of Lore games, at least back when it was new. But for some reason, I've just never found a slot or been in the mood for playing those things. But of game series that's more recent, the Metro series is the obvious one, and Stalker kind of goes along with that. Both series are kind of similar, at least in theme. And although I've tried to start Metro multiple times, I get about 5 minutes in and then I just nope out of those games. And it's a shame because I really would like to play them through. I just physically can't. There's just something about them that freaks me out too much. I just can't play them. In Stalker's case, it's half that, but the other half is that they're so buggy that they just tend to crash all the time, and I just end up, I go in with good intentions of playing them, but then I just get fed up with dealing with the nonsense. So they're the two main series that come to mind that I own all of, but I've just not, for whatever reason, played through them.
I looked through my list, and there's several visual novels. There's bunch of games of sequels to Higurashi, When They Cry. I've got 3 of the Nekoparas. Wait, was there 3 or 4? I've got most of the Sakura series, Nova, Space, Swim Club, MMO, that sort of thing. There's like 5 that I don't own. I also realized that I own all the Space Pilgrim games, and King's Bounty, I own like 4 of those.
Oh, King's Bounty, that's a good one. Yeah, I own those and I've never played them. But I actually bought those because I'm a big fan of the Heroes of Might and Magic games, and I know that King's Bounty are kind of similar and they kind of jumped off from that. So I've bought those when I've seen them cheap and just never got around to them again.
I've just realized I own the Baldur's Gate, well, 1 and 2. I did start reading the manual for the first one. I got like 14 pages in and then lost my place.
Do you have the Icewind Dale games as well? Or?
I believe so, yeah. Again, this has been on GOG.
Yeah, GOG's responsible for my irresponsible collection of games, and I blame them entirely. Funnily enough, I was going to mention the Hyperdimension Neptunia games, which I own all of, mostly thanks to you, but I've kind of experienced them vicariously through you as well, so I feel like I've played them, and I don't need to. Does that count?
I've played like half of the Hyperdimension Neptunia games. Well, Neptunia games, I suppose. I've played all the Hyperdimension ones. Because I was streaming those on the Game Grin Twitch channel, but then, you know, kids keep being at home, and then I just wound up no longer streaming, and now the lockdown, so... I imagine the kids have been audible during this very podcast, so you can imagine how annoying that'd be during a stream. You're supposed to tell me that my kids aren't that annoying.
I wouldn't dream of telling you anything about your children. I don't want to get beaten up. I value my features.
Right, well, on that note, I think we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Puce and Nikki. You can find them on Twitter at @era_Nikki and at @PuceChan. And you can find myself on at @AceLister. Thank you for listening, and an even bigger thank you for subscribing, whether that's via Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or our RSS feed. There's too many R's in that sentence. I need to change that. You can leave a review on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, or post a cheeky comment on GameGrin.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch too. And while you're at it, game on.